Welcome back into the Badger Extra podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, interview football beat reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by Jake Kokorowski, our Badgers Athletics reporter and the tag team partner here on the football beat. Jake, we're going to get into some not fun topics for Badger fans in a little bit here, but I'm going to start off with a positive one. Went to the grocery store this morning, and this happens, I would say, maybe one of every like four or five times I go to the store. Somebody asked me to grab something off the top shelf for him. That's just the reality of being 6'5 and being out in the world. But then when I, it was an older lady at Woodman's, and I got the bread that she was requesting off the top shelf. And the then bench. She said, God bless you. And I hope that whatever you want to have happen this month happens. And I was like, that is a very specific and seemingly nicer kind of, I don't know, blessing, I guess you would say, or just kind of an offering. And I was like, all right, I'm going to move on from this interaction, and we're going to start off with something positive. So what I want to have happen is the Badgers make a bowl game so we get to go somewhere somewhat more fun than Wisconsin in December. So there you go, Badger fans.
Yeah, you know what? I'm there with you. That would be, I know, you know, Nashville is very nice this time of the year down there. You know, I know there's the guaranteed rate bowl, right? Which we're down there in Arizona, but hey, it's still nice.
Right, downtown Phoenix. That place was cool.
That place was really cool. I definitely enjoyed the bourbon room down there. Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, there are other venues. New York is kind of just interesting, though. Grad a Pinstripe Bowl, you're in the, you weren't there, but it,
yep.
No, the press box is open, right? So you're also cold. So maybe not that, but then again, we'll see. But yeah, you know, they have to beat one of two teams at the very least. Ideally, probably to get to Nashville, they would need to beat two teams. They need both Nebraska and Minnesota. So I know we're gonna get into it, but nothing's a gimme anymore. We talked about that even last week. So the big thing is, can they keep the Freedom Trophy for the 10th straight year or 9th straight year? And then if they do, can they get back the axe? And those are questions we don't have answers to right now.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about kind of what happened last week for the Badgers, a pretty disappointing overall performance. And then probably what was discussed after the game became more eye-opening than the game itself. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about this upcoming game against Nebraska, the home finale here at Camp Randall Stadium, right after this. All right, Jake, we're back. We're going to start off talking about this Northwestern game and really more what was said afterwards. In football, there are like some cuss words that aren't cuss words, and you kind of learn them as you talk to players and coaches over the years. And one of them is, being soft. Being soft is one of the worst things you can say about a player, in my opinion, and those are fighting words pretty much from the start. Hunter Wohler said the Badgers came out soft against Northwestern, and you could probably extend that to came out soft against Indiana as well. The next one, and this is one I want to talk to you about, is quit, because when the Badgers ran off the field at halftime against Northwestern, a lot of Badger fans at Camp Randall were booing. And I don't think it was just because the score was 21-3. I think it's because they thought that team had quit. Now, they came out in the second half. It didn't get all that much better on the scoreboard. They at least looked a little bit better in terms of fight and life and things of that nature. But I guess I'll start with a simple question and we'll kind of expand it. Do you think the Badgers are kind of teetering on quitting right now, Jake?
With the amount of, I want to say no. Because there's a lot of sixth-year seniors. You look at Wisconsin's honoring 20 of them, 20 seniors on senior night Saturday. There is veterans on this team. There's 8 players that are sixth-year seniors, and 6 of them started with Wisconsin, part of that 2018 class. They have, I forgot how many. I think there's another 6 are fifth-year seniors being honored that started with the program. And so, and then that is, and that was the vaunted class of 2019. For, and we've talked about that. I, you know, I put that in our article when we, about the Luke, about Luke Fickell's talk last week or yesterday. So for me, it, I want to say no, but you know, it's also like when you hear the boos, it can't be easy, right? You know, especially with, and it's, you know, these players athletically can do so much more than the people in the stands. But the, you know, and whatnot, athletically. But yeah, it's hard because I'm going to say no, just because you did see the fight still, like the first half, no, but that second half, you know, the defense gets better. You had in your observations, you know, defensive line went up that fight. You know, they were doing better with their hand fighting. They were making plays. You saw the offense churning more yards out. It didn't work out until a garbage time touchdown late in the fourth quarter with 11 seconds left, but I felt there was fight. So I don't think they quit. But it's also, you know, there's no fight, but in my eyes, they were still ineffective on offense. Like defense, they got better. You saw the results. You know, they're no longer allowing 10 straight third down conversions for the Wildcats. But, you know, the results still aren't there.
Yeah, that's the thing that's confusing to me, because like I don't understand, because I'm with you. I don't think they've quit yet. I think they're teetering. I think there are a lot of guys that, even some of those veterans you're talking about, I think they're right on the line. And if this team, because we've seen that with Wisconsin teams in the past, I feel like this is something that you could credit Paul Christ and that previous staff for. Like, I would say 9 times out of 10, that team was prepared and had a pretty solid game plan going in. Clearly, obviously, didn't work all the time. They slipped up quite a few times at the end there and weren't winning as many games as they needed to. But I don't think that we have seen, like we've seen in the past 2 weeks, where the team is just out on the field in the first half playing so slow, so tentative, just getting run off the field. And then for whatever reason, they flip the switch at halftime. So I don't think they've quit necessarily. I don't know what it is in these first halves, because it makes no sense to me. If you're going to come out and lay down in the first half, like why get yourself up for the second? You know, like if those were reversed, that would make a little bit of sense. But I just, it's so confusing to watch, because this is not, it's not Wisconsin, kind of like what Hunter Wohler said. This is not the Wisconsin program ethos that he's known his whole life as a Badger fan. And then number two, it's just like, it doesn't make sense that they fight at all, right? If you're going to come out that slow and bad, like why even try after that? I think if we go just to the football elements of it, something is going on with the defensive game plan that is either there's too much on their plate in the first half, they're overthinking and they're slow, and then at halftime they just throw out, let's say 30% of what they wanted to do, lock in on a few things that did okay, and then that seems to work for them. I think there's that combination. I think there's an element of Indiana and Northwestern aren't teams that play with leads very often, and then they knew because of how bad the Wisconsin offense is struggling, they could kind of park the bus and didn't need to try all that hard, and maybe just kind of par down their offense. Something is happening schematically that they're playing this poorly on defense in the first half, and that's got to get fixed in the next 2 weeks, because if they dig holes in the next 2 weeks like they have in the past two, they will continue to lose, and this season is going to end at 5-7. I truly believe that. If they don't come out and get ahead early, or at least keep it even early, this is not a team that's built to come back the way their offense is playing. And then this is not to – I keep talking about defense, but this isn't to absolve the offense of just being ineffective on so many levels. Yeah, your top two tailbacks are hurt. Not good. Not going to be good for most teams when you take your two best players, I would say, on the offense and take them off the field. But, man, you can't move the ball against the two worst rushing defenses in the Big Ten. And then you can't find a counter to it. You know, like, both Indiana and Northwestern were doing essentially the same thing, I think, on defense. Just throwing safeties down late, run blitzing linebackers, and just saying, these five offensive linemen aren't moving people, and we're not going to be the people they move. And then for this, it's a combo of the quarterbacks not executing and then the play calling and the scheme. To not be able to take advantage of that consistently, it's bad all over right now for the Badgers. And I surely don't know if in a 5-day window here, 6-day window between games, they can get it fixed against a Nebraska defense is pretty good, and in Minnesota defense that has been better, but had a really tough week last week.
Yeah, Minnesota gave up, what, how many points to Purdue? 45?
Yeah, it was like 45, 49, near 50.
Yeah, near, yeah. So, yes. Anyways, you can tell that we're in our end-of-season grind where my brain is melting, but it's – you have
– 49.
49, thank you. Going back to – let's start with Wisconsin offense. You know, Luke Fickell talked about it on Monday during the press conference, saying, hey – you know, you had asked a question about the run game, and he had said that, you know, part of it's building confidence and in the, hey, yeah, there are guys that are injured, but then you have to have confidence and start building confidence in the guys that are the second deep or the third deep. Oh, now they're on their third and their fourth deep, to build confidence in that run game. That was interesting. You know, yeah, Wisconsin came in.
They don't have confidence in the run game. That's almost heretic. You know, that's almost heresy.
Right. And, I mean, you can see why, though, because you do have, and it's nothing against Jackson Aker or Cade Iacomelli by any stretch of the imagination, but they're young still. You know, Aker, we talked about it last week, switched from fullback to tailback, from tailback before, with a coach, and nothing against Al Johnson, but an offensive line coach being a running backs coach. You have Cade Iacomelli, who turned into a running back during Illinois week in 2022. And so they're still learning on that. But you also, I will say, going into this week, that may not be much of a factor. I know we're going to talk about Nebraska in a bit, but Nebraska is one of the best rush defenses in the nation. So how much is, you know, are they going to go off for 250 against this Nebraska front? No. If that would happen, I'd be extremely surprised, and I will call that out next week. But you know, you do need – they've talked about complementary football for a while. I know that usually goes for offense to defense and special teams, but let's call complementary football between, you know, a balanced – yeah, you can call it balanced offense. But you do need to have some semblance of a run game to – you can't have all the safeties dropping back and, you know, and or cornerbacks and just letting – the you know, you can basically set up a pseudo run game with short passes, but we've also seen that it hasn't necessarily worked this year for Wisconsin yet. And there's,
you got to get separation, which is a consistent issue for these receivers. I mean, outside. And I think that that's one thing that I wanted to talk about was that that's the biggest shift. I think Phil Longo has made where they started the year where their receivers were running, you know, more of the true air raid style. Like, all right, everybody's kind of got an individual route. They go try to find space and get open. It's pretty much all route combinations. One route is setting up the other to get open. And it's, yes, you've got the 3-4, maybe even 5 receiving options on a play, but it's really paring down to maybe 2-1 at times because of the way that they're trying to set things up and create separation because they're just not getting it when it's 1-on-1. I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. Like, the scheme isn't entirely the problem. The players aren't entirely the problem. It's just like, they're both of those sides of issues are blending together to make everything fall apart right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about complementary football. It's complementary issues right now. You know, yeah, it works.
Sure.
It works both ways. Complementary football, good. Yeah. Everything's good. Yeah. One thing adds on to another. And it's just compounding onto other things. And talk about you're not absolving offense. I mean, you're still having those penalties that are just killer. That, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to a Split Zone Duo podcast, and it was one of their premium ones, and someone, I forgot who it was, I think it's they had a guest on, and he referred to like penalties as almost tackles for loss, and it's like, huh, like I never thought about it that way, but it really does act that way. You're a holding call, that's a 10-yard tackle for loss if you think about it. It's an L play, but it knocks you back, and those are momentum killers too. So that's the one thing, is like the progress. For still looking for progress 10 games into the season for Wisconsin, it's especially against the Nebraska defense, it's going to be no pre-snap penalties, but also no, you know, with the holding calls. And it's going to be tough because this Nebraska, by the way, this Nebraska defense can get after the quarterback. And so that's going to be another, you know, but it works both ways. They're, Nebraska's a sieve on the offensive line in terms of sacks given up, but they also can get after the quarterback too. But get away from the penalties on the offensive line. But yeah, they also have to take some deep shots to keep the defense honest, and we just haven't seen enough of that either this year. And again, these are recurring themes that I feel like we're beating each other over the head with a mallet repeatedly because we're talking the same stuff each week.
Yeah, and I mean, if we see it, what is it like, do you think, in an offensive coach's meeting room right now for the Badgers? Because it's like they've got to know even deeper than we do the issues at hand. And then I've seen at times, like, I can see where the scheme counter, where like, okay, thing X isn't working. So here's thing Y that's going to look like thing X, and we're trying to make it, you know, trying to get the defense off balance there. And then a drop happens, or, you know, a receiver falls down in the route, or the quarterback doesn't make a good throw. This is why I can't be a football coach. Not that I really want to, because their hours are even worse than ours. But this is where I couldn't be a football coach, because if I saw, like, oh, I schemed this up perfectly and then it just failed, I would lose my mind. So I think that's happening a little bit too, where even when the scheme's there and the play calling is on point, things just aren't clicking. And jumping into this Nebraska game now, I think that's where Nebraska's defense is going to be really, really tough to solve for this Wisconsin offense, because Nebraska's used to forcing teams to be one-dimensional. And, you know, you look at the stats and Nebraska's letting up like 230 yards a game in the air, but it's because they're only letting up like 70 on the ground. So, of course, teams can't move the ball on the ground, so they have to throw. It's kind of like Jim Leonard's defenses. Like, seeing stat-wise, they were never the elite, like, in terms of just yards given up and everything like that. But it was because teams couldn't run on them. And Nebraska's not to that level quite yet, but their run game or run stuffing, they are. And it starts up front. You mentioned the pressure they're getting on the passer. They're creating a ton of penetration against run blocking. And when you look at what's happening with the offensive line for the Badgers, where they're just not getting any push, like a good block for some of these guys right now is keeping a guy on the line and not giving up penetration. Man, it's a bad combination. And I really think for the Badgers to win this game, they're just going to have to admit, we can't run the ball. Handing off is almost a wasted play at this point. Like, if we're going to hand off, it's going to be because you finally backed off because we're throwing so much. It's going to have to be true air raid, like Mike Leach air raid, because this offensive line, I don't think, and running backs don't deserve a bunch of reps and don't deserve a bunch of snaps trying to establish, quote unquote, the run game. It's not there, and you're not going to fix it, I don't think. Unless Braylon Allen's healthy, I'll put the caveat out there. If Braylon Allen's able to go, highly questionable, in my opinion, how he looked on Saturday. But if he's able to go, that changes that map.
Well, I mean, that he's out there for the first two series, and then he's done for the rest of the day. And they admit, like, hey, he had one nice reception for 8 yards. That was good.
Time one of those swing screens actually got blocked okay on the outside.
Exactly. But yeah, again, that is a pseudo run. When you have that type of play, it acts like a run game. But it is, this is, yeah, like, I know I've joked about the oop-de-oop offense from Varsity Blues. This is the full out 10 personnel, not even 10 personnel. You know, you put out zero personnel, put out five wide receivers, or put out one personnel where there's a 10 in somehow involved for an extra blocker, and then you have four receivers. I mean, that could be a way. I know you want to establish the run. I know Luke Fickell talked about it in that press conference too, about how, you know, the rock's not going to split after the first time. You got to keep going after it. But if it's not going to be effective, that's where the problem lies. Like, what's the definition?
They keep putting themselves in third and seven. It's like watching Paul Chryst's offense just in a different way the last couple of years, where, all right, they know we're running the line. All right, well, third and seven with passing game, it's not really effective right now.
Exactly. I mean, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing repeatedly, thinking it's going to be a different result. It's a tough spot, because it's also, you've brought in players to help out with this offense. You're not using all the old players, but you still got the young, you know, those same players that are from an old system. And so there's got to be, you know, even 10 games in, like, the answers haven't been solved yet. Even though the Purdue game, they're firing all, which is interesting. It's kind of crazy. Grant, you had Chesmalusi, you had
Alan Lewis, yep.
You know, so you had those guys. But, you know, they were starting to churn, and then they had a bye week, and they did decently well against Rutgers. Not overwhelming, but, you know, still effective enough,
enough
where,
right.
But then ever since then, and obviously Tanner Mordecai's hand injury put in Braden Locke, who's still, you know, second year player, first time starting in a major conference. So it just, yeah. And then you see Braylon Allen go down, you know, what we talked about, what should have been a touchdown on that fourth. So that was insult to injury, or injury to insult there. So it, you know, like I said, things piled up, and you've seen signs though. You've seen signs of what this offense could be, but you know,
one ago. Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a while ago, and it feels like a distant memory from what it used to be. I still think this offense can work. That's the thing. Like, I still feel it can work, and you can't just, it's tough because yeah, obviously that they haven't scored much and the offense has looked anemic for a good chunk of the last month. But I also feel that you got to give it a little bit of time, and they have to start. Yeah. You know, but how much time though? Like, especially with like a conference, that's going to be the question, is like, how much time, where, you know, you have a schedule in 2024 that's going to be pretty daunting. But, you know, you also, like I said, there has to be some time, some adjustment. And one season, I don't think, is going to cut it, you know, in terms of just, you know, like, this is the definitive result. You can't just make that assumption right after one season. Like, you got to give it more than a year to see if the air raid's going to work, especially once they start getting the more pieces that can make that, you know, more gears to make the machine work more efficiently, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. In most things, cutting bait too fast is almost worse than letting it continue to try to see if you can figure it out. So I'm right with you on that. I think you got to give it at least another year of, you know, guys understanding the system, receivers maybe just kind of learning some of those ways to get open and stuff like that. So I don't think they're in jeopardy in that sense. I think it's just in the short term, what do you do in the next 2 weeks? Like, I think you just got to find the few concepts that are working for you and ride those as hard as you can, because you go look in the Northwestern tape. I thought Tanner Mordecai played his best game as a Badger. I know nobody wants to hear it because they dunk overall offensively, but Tanner Mordecai was really good. Or maybe Purdue was a better game overall, but I thought Mordecai was really good, and things just weren't clicking, guys dropping the ball, things of that nature, weren't getting downfield, getting open. So it's the same thing over and over, and that's the thing that I thought wasn't going to happen with this system and this offense, was the repetitiveness of the mistakes and the issues. But that's just kind of where they're at 10 games in now. But jumping over to Wisconsin's defense, Nebraska has offensive issues, as Jake mentioned. They are not good on offense. They let up a lot of pass rush. Their quarterback situation has been a disaster most of the year. They lead the FBS in turnovers, which is kind of crazy to think about. And if you look, they're 5-5. They should easily be 7-5, or 7-3. They should be 7-3 with, if they just take out, and I'm not talking about all turnovers, just take out their red zone turnovers that cost them games. The Minnesota game and then the game last week against Maryland, they turn the game, or turn the ball over in the red zone, give up points in the very close game. So you just eliminate two turnovers that would have turned into field goals, not even touchdowns, and they're a 7-3 team and looking like, you know, right there at the Big Ten West race and maybe even a Big Ten championship game appearance. So I think that's the thing that, you know, you look at two teams that are 5-5, and you would think, okay, so maybe on the same plane. I think for the first time in a really, really long time, Nebraska's in a better spot than Wisconsin, morale-wise, just belief in the direction of the system, all that type of stuff. I think Nebraska is got the arrow pointed up, and I think right now Wisconsin's arrow is kind of a question mark. So defensively, Nebraska's deep, like they stuff the run, but they do it. They brought in a 3-3-5 defensive coordinator also, and they've had to do the same kind of thing that Mike Tressel has with Wisconsin, where it's not really true 3-3-5 anymore. It's back to true like four down nickel, or it's, you know, 2-2-4-5 nickel. And I think they've done they've got better talent on the defensive line. There's no question about that. But I think they've just done a better job of adjusting quicker. And Luke Fickell talked about that a couple of times on Monday. They know who they are. They've figured it out, and they've seen the growth there. And for a guy in Fickell that talks about growth all the time, that's tough, I'm sure, for him to admit that Nebraska's probably grown more on both sides of the ball, or maybe just the defensive side of the ball, than Wisconsin has right now.
Oh, yeah. You look at you know what Nebraska is on offense? They lead the Big Ten in rushing yards per game.
Because they cannot pass.
And the flip side, they are second worst in the conference behind. They're only 5.3 yards per game behind Iowa for worst passing offense. So that tells you how much that they trust the passing game. This is going to be a game that Wisconsin's front seven or front six or however, whoever's in the defensive line or the linebacker rooms, this is their chance to shine and go up and stop Nebraska. On top of that, they may have to defend a mobile quarterback again too. Depending upon what happens, Jeff Sims right now, maybe the only healthy quarterback based off of that Sam McKeon. Hopefully I'm pronouncing Sam's last name right, from the Omaha World Herald, one of our league enterprise buddies. But yeah, you know, Heinrich Harburg, the starter, suffered an ankle injury on Saturday. Rat Rule talked about it this week during his press conference, that Chuba Purdy is a little banged up too, who is the Florida State transfer who came in for Jeff Sims after Jeff Sims had a couple of bad turnovers. And Jeff Sims is the Georgia Tech quarterback who I thought could be pretty decent, and has not turned out to be that way.
Turnover machine, and until he got benched, was having a really tough time getting even the snap cadence correct. So yeah, right. He got benched.
One touchdown.
Yeah, he got benched again.
One touchdown, six interceptions.
Yeah, I mentioned again last week, and Chuba Purdy went in, and then Purdy turned the ball over in the red zone. So, yeah, whoever they play, all three of those quarterbacks can run, to your point. And that's going to be something that the Badgers have to do better, because I thought Northwestern was going to go with that. Obviously, Ben Bryant came back and diced him up from the pocket, which, you know, that's an issue in other sense. But you go back and look at that Illinois game, the Indiana game, quarterbacks that run around, the Purdue game, quarterbacks that run around typically have torn this defense up because they don't have a ton of speed on the edges, and the speed they do have on the edges is not playing smart football. That's got to change. Like, that's one of those issues where it's like the scheme's correct, the players aren't doing it right. Like, I know we talked a lot about the systems, but like, players just have to play better. There is a level to this where the scheme is right. Like, things just on the player side, you got to do your job. And when you fail, then it's on you, because the scheme, the play didn't tell you to, you know, miss the tackle or take the wrong angle at the mobile quarterback. So there's a level to this where the players have to do their job better.
Absolutely. And they're going to have to against Nebraska. I mean, the biggest thing, you talked about turnovers. This defense is hot and cold this entire year. They come in huge bunches, and then they, you know, drier than the desert.
Yep. Four out of the five last games, they have not created a turnover. The only game in that stretch that they have is against Ohio State, where they had three. So that's kind of wild to think about, the most talented team they've played all year. Three turnovers against them, and then none against the likes of Iowa, Indiana, Northwestern. No turnovers.
Absolutely. And so this is going to be what they're going to – this is – last week, Nebraska's quarterbacks contributed – five turnovers, four interceptions, and then a Jeff Sims fumble. That has to be, I think it was a Jeff Sims fumble, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah. This is a team.
It has to be front of mind for sure.
Yeah. Team working on, tip drills, strip drills, you name it, that has to be there. And so this is a very much going to be a grinded out type of game for the defense, and we'll see what the offense can do with the run game. Though obviously it depends upon what Braylon Allen and how his health is, and whatnot too. So again, there's no gimmies. Again, no gimmies. This is going to be a war of attrition. No, I don't even call it a war. This is going to be a battle on the football field where it's physical. Whoever's the more physical team at the line of scrimmage when Nebraska's offense takes on Wisconsin's defense is going to win the game. And Wisconsin's offensive line has to hold up against a Nebraska front that's created nearly 30 sacks in 10 games.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing is show some fight. If you're going to lose, like, do it respectably. Because I don't think that the last two games, if you're a Badger fan, have, like, there are what, especially coming off the Ohio State loss, I feel like the Badger fans were, in general, pretty proud of how they showed up in that game. And then the last 2 weeks, that's completely evaporated. So I think regardless of what the result is, like, at least show some fire. You know, try to show that at least the guys that are on the field have that kind of sense of urgency and try to extend the bowl streak and things of that nature. So, all right, get on BadgerExtra.com, get subscribed. Don't miss all of our coverage of not only this week with Nebraska and Wisconsin football, but number one men's and women's hockey teams in the country, Todd Molesky, all over those teams as they are on the road this weekend with some big matchups in those sports as well. Volleyball getting closer and closer to the postseason as they close out the Big Ten race. Men's basketball getting going. Michael McCleary, we're recording this on Tuesday. He's at the Badgers-Providence game tonight. So check out all of his coverage as well. What's that?
Gavitt Games.
Gavitt Games, correct. Yeah, so check that out as well. All right, get subscribed. Thank you guys very much for listening. For Jay Kokorowski and Colton Bartholomew, we'll be back next week.
See you.